Praise the Lord. Glory to God. My, I think she kind of surprised me. I thought she was going to like preach a while or something. And we're going to get right into the word, 2 Corinthians 4:13. 2 Corinthians 4:13. And we're going to talk about the spirit of faith. The spirit of faith. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13. And the Apostle Paul here talking says, what we have is the same spirit of faith. He said, that's what we have. Actually, he says, we having the same identical spirit of faith. That's what we have. If you were to ask the Apostle Paul what he has that keeps him from collapsing, keeps him from quitting, he said, well, I'll tell you what we have. We have the same spirit of faith. And if you have it, then you just know you got it. And if you know you got it, there's nothing wrong with saying you got it. Amen. That'd be a pretty good start, wouldn't it? I got it. Not trying to get it. I got it. Amen. And I declare I got it. We have the same spirit of faith. Amen. And so he says this, according as it is written. So he's quoting from the Old Testament here. He said, I believed and therefore have I spoken. He said, we also believe and therefore speak. So here Paul says, we having the same spirit of faith. And he quotes from the Old Testament where the psalmist David said, I believed and therefore have I spoken. And in that situation, when David said, I believed and therefore have I spoken, it was in a time of great affliction or adversity. And in that time, David said, the Lord has delivered my eyes from tears, my feet from falling, and my life from death. So it must have been a pretty difficult time where it looked like he may not live, but he said, I'm going to live and I'm not going to die. Amen. Amen. And delivered my feet from falling means I'm going to make progress. I'm not going to keep stumbling over the same thing. I'm going to make progress. How many believe you can make progress this year? Yes. In places where you may have stumbled last year. Yes. Amen. Amen. Then he said he delivered my eyes from tears. Means there comes a time when you just say, I'm not going to cry about that no more. Amen. Sometimes you cried about things and difficult things, but he said he delivered my eyes from tears means I'm not going to cry about that anymore. And so then he says, I believed and therefore have I spoken. The Apostle Paul, why would he bring that up here? Well, when he said we have the same spirit of faith, you can go right up to verse 8 from 13, go up to verse 8 and see what the Apostle Paul says here, because in the middle of this, he said we have the same spirit of faith. What happened in verse 8? He said, we are troubled on every side. Well, it's bad if you got just trouble on a couple of sides. Paul said, I got trouble everywhere. And he said, and I'm not distressed. Amen. In other words, having a spirit of faith does not mean that you don't have any trouble. Are y'all still here? Anybody have a spirit of faith in? You've had plenty of trouble. Paul said, I got trouble on every side. He said, but I'm not distressed. How many know in the middle of trouble, you can be free from stress? You learn how to cast your cares on the Lord. So he says, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Perplexed. Anybody here ever been perplexed? Some people even have that perplexed look on their face. Perplexed means you're looking at a situation, you're saying, why did that happen? How did that happen? Wonder why that happened. Perplexed, that means you don't have all the answers. Bible even says the secret things belong to the Lord. Things revealed belong to us. In other words, there are some things that happen in life, you just have to say, don't know about that. I mean, glad that you don't know everything yet. Well, I don't know. So Paul, even Paul had some things. He's like, well, I'm a bit perplexed about that. And y'all married? You've been perplexed before. So, y'all got kids, you've been perplexed. If you live long enough, you've been perplexed. So Paul admitted, come on, that there's things I hadn't quite figured out yet, right? And he said, I'm perplexed. He said, but I'm not in despair. I'm not in despair. Amen. He says, persecuted, but not forsaken. Amen. In one place, the Paul said that all men forsook me. He said, everybody left me. And Timothy said, but the same night the Lord stood by me and strengthened me. Amen. So right in the middle of that situation, he said, persecuted, not forsaken, perplexed, not in despair. And the next verse says, cast down, but not destroyed. Cast down. What does that mean? One translation says, I've been knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. Let's try that again. I said, I've been knocked down, but I'm up for the next round right now. Amen. How many of y'all ever been knocked down, but you said, I got up for the next round? And so in the middle of that, that's where Paul says, we have the same spirit of faith. We believe and therefore we speak. In other words, believing is an attitude of faith regardless of circumstances. Let's try that again. I said, believing is an attitude of faith. Here's what the Lord said to me one time. He said, you cannot control everybody, but I'd appreciate it if you'd control yourself. I mean, no, it's come down to that. In other words, you can't control what everybody else does, but you are in control of your own attitude, yourself. So when Paul said, I believe and therefore I speak, here's the way Dad Hagin said it. He said, believing and speaking opens the door to the supernatural. In other words, the two main ingredients in the spirit of faith are simply that. I believe and I speak. Everybody say, I believe and I speak. So it means it's not enough to be a believer. You're going to have to get your tongue connected to your believer. And if you're not careful, sometimes your tongue gets connected to your feelings and your circumstances and your kinfolk's opinions. Right? So you want to keep your believer, come on, connected to your what? Your speaker. That means the spirit of faith always declares, I believe and I speak. You can see this, the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 27, where he was on in the third day of a 14-day storm. Amen. He said, and right in the middle of a storm, third day, he's got 11 more days to go. But in the middle of it, the angel of the Lord came, and Paul said, everybody, don't be afraid. Yeah. I believe God. It shall be as he told me. Amen. But in the middle of that, he had to, you know, grab a board, float to shore. So I think some people have a different idea about faith than the Bible does. They think if they have faith, it's just going to, Brother Hagin say, they're just going to float through life on flowery beds of ease. You might be floating, grabbing a piece of the ship that just fell apart. So Paul, he's floating, singing there, got to the island, come on, built a fire, got bit by a poisonous snake. He's having a bad day. You can see he's having a rough time. And during that time, it said people just kind of watch to see if he's going to die. How many of you had people just watch to wonder when you're going to die? They're like, when are we going to get rid of them? So Paul, all right. And so Paul, with a spirit of faith, he turned the shipwreck and a snake bite into a revival that changed the whole island. Whatever you're dealing with right now, the spirit of faith in you is going to turn that situation around into a mighty move of God in your life, in your family, and in your generation. I think you should laugh about that. Amen. So the Apostle Paul, believing and speaking, opened the door to the supernatural, right? And Dad Hagin said, many people are looking for the spectacular and they miss the supernatural. In other words, believing and speaking opens the door to the supernatural. All right. Now, the spirit of faith, someone said it this way years ago, that there's three kinds of people. There's pioneers, settlers, and museum keepers. So museum keepers are pretty much content to dust off the memories of the past. They're still thinking about, well, look at the good old days. A settler is someone who kind of found their comfort zone and they're just kind of living in that comfort zone. But a pioneer is one who is constantly pressing for new territory. Yeah. Two things about a pioneer: someone who is pressing for new territory and someone who prepares the way for others who will follow them. In other words, other people are watching them. They realize their influence. So you can't quit now. All right, come on, you felt like quitting, but you realize there's others watching. Amen. Maybe your own children or grandchildren. So you said, no, I'm not going to quit now. Amen. I'm going to keep pressing for new territory. So a pioneer spirit is what we call spirit of faith. Spirit of faith believes your best miracles have not happened yet. Your best blessings have not happened yet. Your best revelation of the Word of God has not even come yet. In other words, you believe your best days are still ahead of you. Praise the Lord. Anybody here with a spirit of faith? Yeah. Amen. So Paul quoting David, the psalmist David. And so we know David had the same spirit of faith, right? David had it at 17 years old. Joshua and Caleb had it at 80 years old. Doesn't really have an age. At 80, Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able to possess the land. 80, give us this mountain at 80 years old. Most people looking for a rocking chair, retirement home, and Joshua and Caleb with a spirit of faith says, we still believe our best miracles, best blessings are ahead of us. Praise the Lord. Amen. So believing and speaking opens the door to the supernatural. Now here's what the psalmist David said in Psalms 18. So the spirit of faith is really more than just the steps of faith. Important to learn the steps of faith, but here the way the Lord explains to me is the principles of faith are taught, but the spirit of faith is caught.
Yes.
You catch it. Or you could say, it's more like a fire. Amen. So Psalms 18, here's what David said. He said, the Lord will light my candle. Then I can run through the troop, jump over the wall, chase my enemies down, trample them underneath my feet, and they will never rise again. So you wanted to be friends with David. Because David had an attitude, and that is, come on, you're my enemy. The Lord will light my candle. I'll run through the troop, leap over the wall. So I go to a lot of churches. I call it the first flat-faced church. You say, what do you mean? That means they ran at the wall and didn't get over. which means they ain't going to be running into no more walls. Well, the problem is you don't want to run at the wall until you get your candle lit.
That's right.
Y'all still, in other words, when your candle is lit with revelation knowledge of the Word of God, the fire of the Holy Ghost, that changes everything. He said, then I'll run through the troop, jump over the wall. Instead of my enemy intimidating me, I'll chase them down, trample them down, and they'll never get up again. So there's something about the spirit of faith that gives you a boldness and a confidence that intimidates even some people. None in here, but you may know somebody. I said, when you have a spirit of faith, your confidence, come on, may intimidate some people. And I've got a good pastor friend in Nashville, Tennessee, great church there, good friend. And he said the first time he heard Brother Copeland speak, because he is raised in church, you know, Pentecostal church. He ended up after that going to Raymond and studying under Dad Hagen, you know. But the first time he heard Brother Copeland speak was in Nashville at an auditorium or something. And I think that's the case. But anyway, he said this. First time he heard him speak, he said, he listened there. Brother Copeland had such a boldness and such a confidence that he said, I'm not going to sit here and listen to this. He got kind of mad. And he said, I'm not listening to this. He said, that's the most arrogant man I ever heard in my life. That's what he said. He told me that. So I saw Brother Copeland a few years later and I told him that. And he said, thanks for telling him. But anyway, so I told him. But he said, I'm not sitting here listening to that man. He said, I'm getting out of here. So he started to get up and he said, the Lord said, sit down and pay attention and I'm going to teach you something. In other words, that confidence can get in your voice and people can misinterpret that. So I was telling Brother Copeland, he said, that's because he never heard anybody with a spirit of faith before. In other words, the spirit of faith will announce the outcome in the middle of adversity. Amen. Come on, Paul said, everybody cheer up. I believe God. It shall be as he told me. In other words, don't look like it right now. Might have 11 more days of this, but I still believe God. It shall be as he told me. In other words, whatever you're facing right now, I dare you to lift up your voice and say, don't look like it right now, but I still believe God. It shall be as he told me. In other words, the word that is spoken to you must be spoken through you. Or the way the Lord said it to me, he said, your mountain needs to hear your voice. Amen. It will obey you, your voice. What about your voice? You have to lift up your voice. I believe and I speak. Amen. Opens the door of what? The supernatural. Praise the Lord. Now, when it comes to talking about faith and how faith works, a lot of times we actually think we know more than we really do. Nobody here but other places. And what you really know about faith, you'll come through some situations, you'll find out exactly how much you know about it. Right? And so the illustration I always give is my little grandson, Gavin. Right? I've got 8 grandkids. And so Gavin was learning how to swim because we have a swimming pool in our backyard. So I pay for all the kids, all the grandkids to get swimming lessons. And then I watch them to see if they can swim. Right? So here come the parents, you know, and the parents come over to your house. They start talking to each other. So they're not watching their kids, which are my grandkids. Eight of them. So it gets pretty exciting and it's pretty fun for a while. But you know, my poem is I've seen the lights of Paris and I've seen the lights of Rome, but I've never seen nothing as beautiful as the taillights of that car taking my grandkids home. So that's my poem. My daughter says, oh, Daddy, we can stay longer. I said, oh, that's not necessary if you feel like you need to go home. Need a little quiet around here. So, wow, it's something. So, 8 grandkids, so each one as they get, you know, 2 or 3 years old, we start trying to teach them how to swim. Then we get somebody that'll give them instructions. So with Gavin, paid for his lessons, and he's probably 4 years old at that time or something. So we gave him lessons, and he was bragging, and his dad, trying to give him confidence, was saying, oh, Poppy, they call me Poppy, Gavin knows how to swim. He can really swim now. Well, I had watched him and I knew he could swim in the shallow end, which anybody can. (Laughs) So I'm watching him, and I knew he really can't swim. So they're trying to give you positive thinking, confidence. Oh, he can swim. Well, I knew he couldn't swim. So we happened to be standing outside by the pool and happened to be standing by the diving board on the deep end. So his daddy said, "Poppy boy, Gavin, he can swim. He's something. Isn't he something?" I said, "That's great. That's really great." And he said, "Yeah, Poppy, I can swim." So I said, "Well, show Poppy." So I grabbed him and just threw him in the deep end. So I threw him in the deep end, and when I threw him in the deep end, he was sinking. And while he was sinking, we're looking at him, and he's going down, but while he's sinking, he's making swimming motions. But the point of swimming is not just making swimming motions. You know what I mean? So he's making swimming motions, but he's still sinking. So we're standing there, and I told my son-in-law, I said, "If I was you, I would jump in there and save him." So he hands me his phone and wallet, and he dives in there, and he pulls Gavin up. So when he pulled him up, I said, "I told you he can't swim. Now you take him back to swimming lessons and quit acting like you know so much about it." So sometimes when faith teaching is going on, people are like, "I can swim, boy. I tell you, I got that faith stuff down." Amen. But if you ever hit the deep end, and you might be making faith motions, but we're not interested in making faith motions. Come on, we're interested in overcoming. Come on, and receiving and getting some results here. So sometimes you just go right back to school and say, "Lord, let's go back over the fundamentals again and teach me." Woo! Amen. And so I listened to Dad Hagin since I was, 17 years old, teach on faith. He taught on faith so much, I thought he ran out of sermon material. I mean, I'm 17, I'm like, he needs to study the Bible more or something. But I didn't realize that was his assignment. The Lord told him to go teach my people faith. And he actually said, "Don't preach on it, teach it." He said, "Some people are preaching on it," he said, "but you need to teach it and explain it where anybody can do it or can receive it." Amen. So he would teach on it again and again. So after listening to that for a few years, I thought, "Well, I got this down. I can go. Miss, I can tell you the next thought that's coming up. And I can probably even tell you the next story or illustration he's coming up with." So when I got to be about 21, 22, I went to one of his meetings, and I was sitting there, and he's teaching on faith. And I was like, "Oh, this is so good. This is going to be a blessing to all these people that are here. I'm sure glad they're here. I know it's going to help them a lot." How many of y'all ever thought that? Don't say this. "I'm sure glad they're here," right? And he's teaching on faith. And the Lord said, "I know what you're thinking." How many know the Lord knows what you're thinking? Oh, yeah. He said, "I know what you're thinking," he said. "And it's just that pride right there that's keeping you from going forward in your faith." Wow. He said, "And if you'll humble yourself, I'll show you things about faith you have never seen before." Oh, my, come on now. How many believe the Lord can show you things about faith that you've never seen before? Woo, that will take you into some new territory and some new scenery. And instead of just making swimming motions, you'll swim. Praise the Lord. Amen. So when Paul said we have the same spirit of faith, the spirit of faith is necessary, come on, not just to get a Cadillac. The spirit of faith is necessary to do the will of God in your life. Come on, to do what God called you to do. Praise the Lord. To follow the plan of God. Amen. The spirit of faith is necessary to go from faith to faith and follow the plan of God. Well, it'll give you an attitude of faith, an attitude of expectation, amen, an attitude of confidence. Now, I learned some things about faith just from watching my mom and my dad. Because my mom and dad pastored for almost 50 years in a little town, South Texas, called West Columbia, Texas. Little town. Anybody ever been to West Columbia, Texas? In other words, in West Columbia, Texas, there's about 3,000 people in town. They say the welcome and y'all come back sign is on the same pole. So it's a small town. Somebody said it was such a small town, they put a mirror at the end of town to make it look bigger. So we would say it was such a small town, they only had two restaurants, and whichever one you went to, you wish you'd have gone to the other one. It was such a small town, Yellow Pages only had one page, right? We said it was such a small town, they had a beauty contest, and nobody won. So I was raised in a small town. Listen, we just can't let anybody win this. Anyway, so we had one traffic light in town, right? Over 50 years, my dad's church grew from just 10, 15 people to over 2,000 people on Sunday morning. And that's almost more people than's in town. And so my dad's church, so you had Baptists, Methodists, all kinds of people coming, getting saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. So my dad's church grew over 50 years, right? And my dad had one saying, and that was it. When he would start preaching, the Holy Spirit come on him, and with the spirit of faith, he would say, one traffic light in town, and you can get anywhere in the world from that traffic light. I know some of y'all think that's profound. One traffic light, and you can get anywhere in the world from that traffic light. Why? Because sometimes you live in a small town, you start thinking little, thinking small, and you end up stuck in a small area. But if you believe God, you can get anywhere in the world from where you are right now. Let's try that again. I said, from where you're at right now, if you have a spirit of faith, you can get anywhere in the world from where you are right now. Smith Wigglesworth said, any man or any person can be changed by faith, no matter how they may be fettered. The word fettered is the word for bound. That means any person can be changed by faith, no matter how they may be bound. That means the devil cannot make a bondage that your faith cannot break off of you. Let's try that one more time. I said, the devil, come on, dude, there's no special cases. The devil cannot make a bondage. Come on, physical, mental, emotional, that your faith cannot break off of you. Any man can be changed by faith, no matter how he may be fettered. And so in my dad's church, come on, here they are, pastoring, doing what God called them to do. And when they moved to that little town, my dad had a heart attack. My mom had a nervous breakdown. They didn't have no money. And I was only 1 year old. So they had to tell me the story. And I got my right thumb cut off in a bicycle chain. So daddy's sick, mama's sick. I came in the house 1 year old. Said, look, mama, no thumb. So I always wanted to be somebody, and now you see what happened. So somebody said, you believe in God to replace that? I'm really working on my brain right now, so give me a break. So all that means I can only hitchhike one way. That means I'm going to have to go that way. So they're having a bad time. Come on. Daddy's sick. Mama's sick. Everybody's broke. Right? Everything's going wrong. It takes a spirit of faith to go where God tells you to go. And it takes a spirit of faith to stay where he tells you to stay. All right, we're going to try that one more time. I said it takes a spirit of faith to go where God tells you to go, but it also takes a spirit of faith to stay where he tells you to stay when it looks like everything's going wrong. Go ahead and laugh about that right now. And say, I laugh about that. I have the same spirit of faith. Amen. So in the middle of all that, Dad Hagen, come on, his books and all that came, And my mama and daddy got a hold of Mark 11:23. Now go to Mark 11:22-23 and let's read it. Here's what Jesus had to say about faith. How many think he might be an expert?
Amen.
Here's what Jesus had to say about faith. He had just spoken to the fig tree. Didn't cut it, didn't kick it, just talked to it. He spoke to the fig tree and the disciples said, Lord, look at that. That's amazing. Right? That's when Jesus comes to Mark 11:22. But when they said, Lord, look at that. That's amazing. Jesus could have said, I'm Jesus. You're not. So y'all let me do the talking around here. Or Jesus could have said what? He could have said, that's a deity trick that I learned in heaven and me and God do it. But don't none of you earthlings try it, because if you get it wrong, it could blow the lips right off your face. So Jesus could have said that. Instead, Jesus said, what I just did, anybody can do what I just did. And it won't just work on a tree. It will work on a mountain. I told the Lord, I said, we were already impressed with the tree. So why did you have to throw mountain in there? I said, that's going to mess up theologians for 2,000 years, right? So I went to Bible college 4 years. So, man, they're discussing all this. I thought, why did you have to throw in mountain? I thought, Jesus, here's the way he said it to me. He said, do you think that I made up Mark 11:23 while I was saying it? I said, probably not. In other words, imagine Jesus spoke to the fig tree. The disciples said, Lord, that's pretty impressive. Jesus said, have faith in God. Write that down. Verily I say unto thee that whosoever, just put whosoever there, whosoever, write that down. Whosoever shall say, put say there. Whosoever shall say unto this, I put mountain there. That's going to mess them up right there. Put mountain. Say to this mountain, be thou removed. And cast into the sea. In other words, don't just move it to your neighbor's yard. Be thou removed, be cast into the sea, right? I said, why do you say be cast into the sea? He said, because the sea has the capacity to receive it, dissolve it. There'll be no evidence it was ever there, and it will never come back. Come on, you have a spirit of faith. There's things you're facing right now that they shall be removed, cast into the sea. They'll never come back, and there'll be no evidence it was ever there. Go ahead and laugh about that and say, Yeah, how are you going to get there? Just faith in God. I believe God. Amen. So when Jesus said, and shall not, come on, he's finishing up, shall not doubt, write that down, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Believe those things which he, well, just put another saith there. Saith, that's a good place for a saith. Believe those things which he saith. I'm sorry, I was looking at a couple of y'all. Believe those things which he saith. I'm actually going to have to carry a mirror so y'all can see what I have to look at. But anyway, so believe those things which he saith. Shall come to pass. It 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 shall come to pass. And that phrase means that you're on a journey and you're on a trip and you have not reached your destination, but you are actually on the way to that. So the moment you say, he said, you're on the way. It shall come to pass. And they said, and he shall have whatsoever. Just put whatsoever there. Whatsoever he saith. That's a good place for another saith. In other words, how many of y'all believe Jesus did that? No. What Jesus said was exactly the way faith works all the way back from Genesis chapter 1. That everything you can see was made out of words. The reason words will move mountains is because mountains are made out of words. So Jesus said, say to the mountain. Y'all still here? So years ago, I was going through an airport, found a magazine, and the title of the magazine said, what is hiding in the corks? What's hiding in the cork? So I took it down. I wanted to read exactly, you know, one of those science magazines. So they actually said that now they have to have a new model for an atom, the nucleus, right? They said years ago, we studied the model. You have protons, neutrons, come on, electrons, and if you had a solid, a few croutons. But anyway, so, yeah, so I'll see if you're paying attention. So in the, he was like, did they have croutons in there? So in the middle, I'm sorry, I have to entertain myself sometimes. So when you got the smallest building block of all matter, right? Unseen. And they said now they have the super colliders, come on, and going the speed of light, crashing together, finding out what's the smallest building block of matter. So they said, we've found something smaller than all that, and it's called a quark. Yeah. Then they said, we've actually found something smaller than a quark that's hiding in a quark. Yeah. So they didn't know what to call it, so some of it call it the God particle. And others said, really, it's just sound waves. So that the smallest building block of all matter is sound. In the beginning, God said. In other words, a lot of people want to change the scenery, but you'll have to have a change of sound. Here's the way Dad Hagen said it to us. I was 17 years old, and he said, if you're not happy with what you have in life, check out what you've been saying. Well, I was only 17. I wasn't happy at 17. Come on, you don't have to wait till you're 40 to be unhappy. You don't even have to wait till you get married to be unhappy. Listen, I was 17. And I was unhappy at 17. And he said, if you're not happy with what you have in life, check out what you've been saying. And in my case, also, what you've been singing. Right? Check out what you've been saying. So then, if Jesus said, whosoever shall say, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Amen. In other words, you could miss out by default if you're silent about that. All right, let's try this again. In other words, sometimes the Lord would say, come on, I wasn't saying nothing negative, but he would say, what are you saying about that? All right, let's try this side over here. Come on, I wasn't saying nothing negative. I just wasn't saying anything about that situation. So the Lord said, you're going to have to say something about that. And listen close. And there comes a time where nobody else can say it for you. All right, we'll try that again. I said, there comes a time nobody else can say it for you. Jesus said, you have what you say. Amen. You have what you say. Are y'all still here? Now, let's jump over here to this real quickly here. Now, I went and heard Youngie Cho, 1977. At that time, pastored Seoul, Korea, and the church grew to become the largest church in the world. At that time, he had 50,000 people. Amen. And then his church grew to over 1 million people. He's a product of American missionaries. So he gathered all the pastors together. He said, my church, my success, my life came from American missionaries coming and preaching the gospel. So I'm coming back to America to teach pastors. Y'all still here? So his church had 50,000 going to 100,000. So he said, if you have less than 3,000 people in your church, you really have a prayer group. So all the pastors are like, wow, man, we got a lot of prayer groups around here. So, in other words, he's really enlarging our vision. All right? So he called it the fourth dimension, which the realm of faith incubates over everything that is seen, right? And so in his teaching, 1977, I went and heard him again just a few years ago, and he taught the same message both times. So you can interpret that several ways. Either he hadn't learned nothing, or apparently you hadn't got it yet.
That's right.
All right, let's try that. I said, come on, you can say, well, I think he hadn't learned nothing. Our God just told him, you need to hear that again. You're still making the motions, but you ain't swimming, right? So... He was teaching on the subject of faith. So he said, you cannot really understand faith because faith and confession go together. So you can't separate the two. So you can't understand faith without the speaking part of faith, the saying part. So while he's talking about that, he said his church grown real large now, very influential. So he said he was eating with a leading neurosurgeon in Seoul, Korea. The leading neurosurgeon, brain surgeon in Seoul, Korea. And while they're eating, the neurosurgeon tells Pastor Cho, he says, we have a new discovery in the study of the brain. We have discovered that the speech center in the brain exercises dominion over the whole central nervous system. He said, it's a new discovery in the study of the brain, so much so that when we're doing surgery on someone's brain, we can probe different parts of the brain and different parts of the body will respond. But when you probe or touch the speech center, the whole body responds.
Wow.
So he's explaining this to Pastor Cho. Pastor Cho said, oh, I know this long time. The neurosurgeon said, how you know long time? This new discovery. How you know long time? Pastor Cho says, from Dr. James. He said, who Dr. James? He said, Dr. James, New Testament. Dr. James, New Testament, tongue. Tiny member, control whole body. So in case you don't like Mark 11:23, go to Dr. James.
Yeah.
Dr. James, come on. Chapter 3, come on, 2, 3, 4, down there. He says, your tongue is a tiny member.
That's right.
It affects your whole body. Come on. It affects in the midst of a storm and adversity, your tongue will determine your direction and your destination, not the things on the outside of you. So we have located the problem. It's underneath your nose. It's really not that far from you. It's your tongue. That Jesus said, when you have faith in God, whosoever shall say, he shall have whatsoever he saith. In other words, speaking is the initial act of faith. Or you can say it this way, if your faith is not strong enough to move your mouth, it will never move a mountain. If your faith, come on now, is not strong enough to get your mouth moving, in the face of adversity, I believe and I speak. When I lift up my voice, the authority is in my voice. Faith is released through words and actions. In other words, the same spirit of faith, I believe and I speak. I believe and I speak opens the door to the supernatural, and he calls out the spirit of faith. Now, let's go back to my mom and dad's situation real quickly here, because that's what we have, the same spirit of faith. Come on, works the same for everybody. Amen. Let's try it again. I said it works the same for everybody.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So in my mom and dad's situation, our family, my dad, mom got a hold of the authority of the believer, that book. They realized mountain's going to have to move. The Lord said to me one time, if you knew what was on the other side of your mountain, you would move it. In other words, sometimes the enemy, Satan, throws a big hindrance in your way to stop you from what's coming next in your life. But you are not a victim. Come on, you don't have to just sit there and say, I'm waiting on somebody else. You say, I have faith in God, I believe and I speak, and the mountain has to move. Are your words, whoo, praise the Lord, your words give you authority over devils and demons and evil spirits. Are, when he says to have faith in God, he says that actually four other times, Romans 3:23, faith in the blood of Jesus. Acts 3:16, his name through faith in his name. Hebrews chapter 4, it says the word had to be mixed with faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he says that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Thank God for the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
All right, so here. So my dad goes to the back room. My mama's in darkness and depression, not just for a few days, for 2 years. Things that happened in her life as a young lady, we didn't understand till later on. So she just lived in shame and depression, darkness for 2 years, almost died. She refused to eat. And here she's the pastor's wife. And she had, come on, they'd been saved. They'd even been filled with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But did not understand how to exercise or release their faith. So my daddy went back to the back bedroom where my mama was. And he got my mama to start speaking the word. So he'd go back there and he'd tell my mama, say this. So she'd be back there and say, 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Somebody said, say it again. Everybody say repetition.
Repetition.
I'm going to just say it again. God's not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. All right. Then he would go over to my mom's favorite psalm, Psalm 27. Say that. Put the word in your mouth. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Say it again. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? So they're going over the word. Praise the Lord. And while they're speaking the word, power of God came down. My mama came out of that room, praising the Lord, giving glory to God, shouting, praise the Lord, running and laughing, hallelujah. From that day, you could never go in the house that my mama was not in there going, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, glory to God, hallelujah, amen. So in my daddy's church, when the Holy Spirit would begin to move, my mama was what I call the first responder. What that means is she wasn't going to wait and see what everybody else is going to do. She just jumped right in. So y'all could hear, come on, you could hear. I said, you could hear it. Come on, I said, you can hear faith.
Yes.
You can hear faith talking. You can hear faith praising.
Yes.
Come on, no such thing as silent faith.
Right.
I said, let's try. I said, no such thing as silent faith. He said, you're going to have to lift your voice.
Yes.
Amen. Acts 16, Paul and Silas, when they're in prison, beat up at midnight, what they do? Prayed, and then they sang praises to God, lifted up their voices to God, and the prisoners heard them. I want to know who's hearing you. I said, who's hearing you at the house, praising God? Come on, in the most difficult time of your life, who's hearing you? Come on, is your husband hearing you, your wife hearing you? Are the kids hearing you at the house? Not just at church.
Amen.
Come on, so at midnight, they're praising God. And the power of God came down right on that prison. So that's when the Lord said to me, he said, your voice is your address. in the realm of the spirit. That means the moment you lift up your voice, God said, I know that address, and the power of God comes exactly to the point of your need when you lift your voice. Power of God came down, chains fell off. Wouldn't it have been funny if that would have happened at a prison across town, and Paul would have said, Lord, you missed. God don't miss. Come on, when you lift your voice, the power of God comes right to that sound and to that voice. When you lift your voice, that's the initial act of faith. Amen? And so I could just see Paul and Silas in prison. Come on, their backs beat up, embarrassed. Come on, at midnight. And they said, all right, Mr. Devil, looks like you did a good job. You got us embarrassed. Come on, got us in pain, got our hands bound, got our feet bound, got the door shut. But devil, you made one mistake. You should have taped my mouth shut. Because long as I can move my mouth, I said, long as I can move my mouth. Come on, the one thing God tells you to move, and you sit there with your teeth in your mouth. I said, one thing God tells you to move, long as you can move your mouth. Come on, you lift your voice and start giving praise and thanksgiving to God at midnight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Prisoners heard them. Woo, come on. You can praise your way right out of that situation. There's authority in your voice. Praise the Lord. That means I'm not staying here. The spirit of faith. I said, the spirit of faith. Come on, what are you saying about this year? What you saying about this year? Come on, your words. Come on, are building the road, bringing you to that destination. Amen. So, well, they'd start praising God in church. My mama, first responder, and you could hear her. She'd go, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Then she would not stop there. For some reason, one of the reasons, the way she would release her faith is she would take off running. And she would run around the church. If that was the end of it, it would be all right. But that's not the end of it. When she would take off running, it's like, come on, lighten the fire, man. I like to say it this way. The moment you act on the word, God makes himself responsible for your results. Come on, until you act on the word, you're responsible for your results. The moment you act on the word. So my mom, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And then she'd go, whoo, and take off running. And she'd grab a few other people on the way. You know, you don't even really need a word of knowledge. You can tell by just looking at some people they need to release their faith. Right. I said, did you have discerning? No, I just looked at you and I could tell you better do something about it. So my mama grabbed different people and they'd take off running. Had a man in the church named Sidney Smith. He'd start to stomp. And he'd stomp. A demonstration of faith through the Holy Spirit that he would stomp and mama would run. I hear the sound of an abundance of rain. And she would take off running. Sidney, he'd start stomping like this. Sister Houston was the richest lady in town, and she would start to laugh in the Holy Ghost like she was intoxicated, like she was drunk. Man, the spirit of faith will make you laugh at situations that look like it will never change. It's always going to be that way. And you go, ha, 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 I have faith in God. Come on, God is on my side. I have faith in God. Just practice laughing for a few minutes right now. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, 2019. Holy Spirit be moving like that, and such liberty or freedom would come across that whole church when we would make room for the Holy Ghost, yield or respond to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And such freedom and such joy. Come on, you cannot get a sad spirit of faith. Come on, when you have a spirit of faith, come on, cheer up. I believe God, it shall be as he told me. Amen? So, when I got to be a teenager, I used to, you know, they'd say, bring a friend to church. And I'd always say, well, I don't want to bring none of my friends to church, you know what I mean? My mama might run, people start acting weird, so I'm not going to bring a friend to church. So one Sunday, a friend of mine accidentally came to church. I didn't invite him. I don't know how he got there. I was just like 16 years old trying to be cool, you know. And so here's my friend from school. And I went, oh, my God. So I began to pray. I said, Lord, please. I'm asking you. Please, no tongues and no interpretation, no tongue. And please don't let my mama run around the church during this service. Well, you know what happened, right? My friend sitting there, so I warned him. I said, you know, this is not a regular kind of church, right? So the lady right behind us, she started speaking in other tongues. My friend said, is that Latin? I said, no, we're not Catholic. I said, this isn't the book of Acts. So she starts speaking in tongues. She gave a message in tongues, and she's, you know, an older lady, so she had false teeth. So when she would speak in tongues, her teeth would click and clack together. So if you didn't have the interpretation, if you knew Morse code, you could figure out what the Holy Ghost was saying. Because you go, my mama said, thus saith the Lord, everything's going to be all right. And my mama go, hallelujah. She took off running around the church. My friend said, who is that woman? I said, I have no idea who this woman is. Oh, that's not it. Come on. She's taking off running, going, woo, thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Come on, you've turned my captivity. Yeah. Come on, fill my mouth with laughter. Oh, thank you, Lord. Ha, 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 ha. Come on, one act of faith is greater than all the information in all the libraries in all the world. Just one act of faith. If you'll dare to believe. Ha, 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 ha. You can get anywhere in the world from where you are right now. Ha, ha. Well, over that period of time, my dad's church grew, so you got like the president of the bank. He's there. He'd gotten filled with the Holy Spirit, not quite as demonstrative. Come on, you got political leaders and come on, people in town. Holy Spirit started moving. My mom would run right by him. She'd go, ha-ha, woo! Figure that out with your pencil. Listen, in other words, your accountant can't figure everything out. I said, your accountant can't figure everything out. How many believe God knows something more than the president of the bank knows right now? So mama take off running. She'd run right by him going, woo! Come on, it was not education that delivered her. It was no amount of money that delivered her. It was the power of God that delivered her. And she just run. Come on, he brought me out of a horrible pit. Come on, put a new song in my mouth. Even praise to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So mom would run, and then Sidney Smith, he had been a fighter in town, had cuts all over his face, big strong guy. But when he got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, Come on, he was not just kind of acting some way. The Holy Spirit come on him. He would sit around the aisle, and Mama would run. You see the power of God come on him. And he looked like he's about to explode. He'd go, start speaking in tongues. Then he'd come out in the aisle, and he'd go, whoa! And he'd stomp that. Whoa! Well, they had wooden floors back in those days. He'd go, pa pom pa pom pa pom. He's stomping like that. Anybody know what that means? That's a demonstration. The Lord will crush Satan underneath your feet shortly. So he's just going, man, whatever the devil meant for evil, he just starts stomping like that. Glory to God. Ha ha! Don't make me come back there. I will come back there. Come on, mixing faith with the power of God. Come on. Then Sister Houston, the richest woman town, diamonds all over her, but she would get filled with the Holy Ghost. She got something you cannot get at the mall. When she got filled with the Holy Ghost, man, the joy of the Lord filled her up, the presence of God, and she would just walk around staggering drunk in the Holy Ghost. When's the last time you got so filled with the Holy Spirit and full of faith? Come on, you just forgot everybody around you and just said, thank you, Lord. I expect miracles. I'm believing. I'm rejoicing. I'm speaking. I'm declaring this year. I'm getting ready. Ha ha. Go ahead and laugh for a minute. I got one. One more point. So I preach like a fat man caught in a barbed wire fence. It's a point here and a point there. So I got one more point. One more point. But my confession, a skinny man now. So I'm like a skinny man. Y'all ever sell that t-shirt that said, I might be fat, but you're ugly and I can lose weight? So... anyway, All right. We are well able to possess the land. Amen. We're well able. Listen, I believe and I speak. So here, just a few weeks ago, make it short, we just bought 30 acres with two big buildings and two big barns, two-story, the most beautiful piece of property on the highway between our house and the church. So we moved out of the little church area. We're moving out now and moving out into a large place. So as soon as we got that property, let me tell you what the Lord said. As soon as we got that property, because we were thinking much smaller. Come on, we were trying to get something much smaller. And the Lord said, no, I got something big. So when we got that property, we got on it, and here's what the Lord said to me as soon as we got in there. He said, when you were laughing, you really were laughing about something you didn't know. So if the devil says, why are you laughing and praising and shouting? You say, I'm laughing about something I don't even know right now. In other words, God's got some things planned more than I can ask, more than I can even think. Because I didn't ask for it. I didn't think about it. I just got it. And the Lord said, while you were praising and rejoicing in all those meetings, I was getting that ready for you. Come on, while you're laughing and praising and rejoicing tonight, God is able to do things beyond what you can ask, more than you can even think. Ha, ha, ha. Somebody ought to shout right now. Say, glory to God. In 2019, Psalm 66, 12. The Lord gave me that scripture probably 25 years ago through a prophet by the name of Dick Mills, wears a suit and wears tennis shoes. So Dick Mills prophesied that and said, this is for you right now in a time of adversity. Come on, it says, Psalm 66, 12, it says, he said, men rode over our heads. We went through fire and we went through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. Come on, I declare to you tonight, you may have been going through fire and water and people riding on your head, but God is bringing you out into a wealthy place. Woo! Hey, glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! Glory. I hear the sound of an abundance, ha, 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 of rain. Glory to God. Ha, that means it's turning around for you. Come on, we're just taking care of business right now. While you're shouting, laughing, and praising, here, God's doing something back at your house.